I'm going to ask one of our elders, John Adamson, and if you have been with the church for any length of time, that I know he needs no introduction, but we are so thankful that he's going to address you at this time. John.
Good morning. For some time now, the leadership at Calvary has been concerned with the drop in attendance. It has been due in part to several of our senior members passing away or others moving out of the area. After much prayer and discussion, it has been decided to meet with a consultant on church growth. We hired Tyler Smith from CultureCraft. A small group has met with him on three occasions. He has visited our services twice. Many of you spoke with him at the time of his visits. We did not announce his presence so he would get a true picture of Calvary Christian. He has spent many hours going through our building and meeting with the staff. In his report, he had many good things to say about Calvary. He also listed many things we could do to improve our prospect of attracting visitors, particularly young families. Our goal is not to attract, but to build a relationship with them and eventually involve them as a part of our congregation. You may have noticed some of these improvements are already underway. Many of these improvements cost little or nothing. Others will be more expensive. Steve has been speaking about a vision for Calvary. He will continue to share more specifically about this vision. Our vision includes more than the physical surroundings, but a renewed spirit within the congregation. The leadership is praying all of you will be excited and supportive of this mission for Calvary. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Thank you. The King James Version translates the first part of Proverbs 29:18 as, "Where there's no vision, the people perish." It's often quoted at times like this to support vision casting, but the rest of the verse says, "But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." So in the context, it's pretty clear that the original intent of the passage was not about vision casting so much as this: without revelation from God, we'd be in big trouble. How many of you know that to be true? However, the good news is that we do have the revelation we need within the pages of God's Word, His inspired Word. So let me assure you, as we talk about a vision for the future of the church, we'll always be aligning our plans with the instructions and principles that we find in Scripture. That's why I chose originally that title, "Be Thou My Vision," for the series I've been preaching over the past few weeks. We want God to give us the vision. We want Him to be our vision. Churches are living, breathing communities of believers. The Apostle Paul refers to the church as a body in 1 Corinthians 12:27. And thinking about that, determined that it was time for a checkup, as John shared, we thought it wise to, well, ask a consultant to help us assess our situation. After all, if you knew you weren't doing well physically, and it was negatively impacting your quality of life, wouldn't you make an appointment with a doctor, unless you're a man? And then you might need a little encouragement from your wife or your mother or a sister who cares or someone. But nonetheless, that would be the thing to do, wouldn't you think? And after a thorough examination, if it was revealed that your condition was serious enough to take some medication or modify your diet or concentrate on some strategic exercise to target, specific concerns, perhaps even exercising some muscles that have grown weak or become injured, would you ignore everything the doctor said? I think you would agree it'd be foolish to do that. You'd want to take at least some of his advice to heart, would you not, to address the concerns? And that, again, is why, after an honest and thorough assessment, we believe it's important for us at Calvary to make improvements to promote the church's overall health and longevity and to fulfill Christ's vision for us. We've been talking a lot about vision this past several weeks, but again, let's look at Christ's vision. What is his vision for his church? Well, first of all, Matthew 16, 18 tells us that he built his church on the rock-solid confession that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. So it's his church. We need to never forget that. And according to his own words in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, his vision for his church is to make disciples. Now, that's not a term that maybe we use in just everyday conversation. It's one of those churchanese words. But again, it's the very word that Jesus uses and one we need to take note of. For he said in that text, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And then he said, surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Making disciples. This isn't about convincing people to be like us. Nor is it just merely filling seats in the sanctuary. Yet, if we're doing as Jesus tells us to do, seats will be filled with people who are sincerely seeking to know the Lord's vision for them. So, we must be more effectively going out into our community with Christ's mission in mind. This doesn't mean we need to preach at people, but we do need to reach out to people with the love of Christ. According to the Apostle Paul, Christ's vision for his church is also to mature believers. After all, in Romans 8:29, he writes, those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. And then in Ephesians 4:15-16, also says, speaking the truth in love, we want all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So, helping others to grow in love and to become more like Jesus is at the core of disciple making. Though we intend to offer services to our community to help folks to be better neighbors, better parents, better citizens in our community, God's number one goal for this church is to help them to know Jesus and become more like Jesus. It's my belief that the more we become like him in our daily interaction with others, the more blessed our families and communities will be. I'm convinced of that. Which reminds us that Christ's vision for his church is to be a light in the world. As the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. This world can be such a dark place. There's so much hurt and sadness in our communities. So many people feel helpless and hopeless. Our response to that needs to be more than just lamenting that sad condition. As I spoke briefly about last week, we need to carry the light of love and hope into our homes and into our neighborhoods, into our workplaces, into our schools, and even into the establishments we might frequent. Generally speaking, folks won't care what we know until they know that we care. I heard that phrase a long, long time ago, and I embraced it. I believe it's so true. I've seen it to be so true so much of the time. Folks don't care what we know until they know that we care. We at Calvary Christian Church have excelled at demonstrating our care for people in the past. I believe that. But we're going to be striving to communicate it to our community even more effectively now. We're going to be doing that. Individually, we can make someone's day with an act of kindness and a word of cheer. How many even know that's true? We can brighten an otherwise dismal day with a smile or a listening ear. Yet, as James would indicate, words aren't enough. Words aren't enough. We must give visible and tangible evidence that we care. That should be even more the case when we're talking about the church, the body collectively. We have to give visible and tangible evidence, again, that we care. So if someone should come to you and ask you, again, what we're about, we're praying and hoping and believing that you're going to be able to respond with the idea, the concept, that we are a caring church, that we care. And not just that we say we care, we demonstrate we care. So it shouldn't surprise you when you see, not if you see, a freshening up of our approach and some improving of our efforts to, again, do that very thing. To not only care, but to demonstrate that we care. Of course, some of the methods by which we communicate the love and the hope of Christ may be modified, but our message will remain the same. Christ's vision is for all of us to be one. Did you know that? We're blessed to have insight about this in John 17, 20 through 23, where there's a very personal prayer of Jesus recorded. We can see in this prayer that his vision was not just for those who followed him then, but for us. For he says this, "I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I'm in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one." Think about that. He said, "I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you've loved me." Clearly, Jesus wants for his followers to be one big happy family. His vision for us is to live in harmony and peace with one another. Take note that he also reveals why this is so very, very important. Our oneness is a personal testimony of the love of God in Christ. If Christ's followers can't get along, what hope is there for the world? Think about this. True community is not possible without unity. We talk a lot about community, and we're focusing a lot on our community, the community of believers, and reaching out into the community. But for us to really be able to do that, there has to be unity. There has to be something very special that bonds us together. Something special. What is that something? It's love. We've heard it over and over again in the texts I've even read. Love. Love for God. Love for others. With this in mind, I'm pleased, I'm going to call it publish, Calvary Christian's revised mission and vision statements. First, our mission is simply this: sharing the love of Christ. Sharing the love of Christ, that's pretty simple, isn't it? That's our mission, to share the love of Christ. Can you say that with me? Our mission is sharing the love of Christ. That should be easy to remember, right? Should be. Sharing the love of Christ. You can expect to hear that phrase frequently going forward. As it's our desire in all things, at all times, to be sharing the love of Christ. What is it? To be sharing the love of Christ. Now, our vision articulates how we plan to accomplish that mission. We are going to be sharing the love of Christ by connecting with our community, inspiring the members of the church, and equipping to serve. Can you say that with me? We're going to be sharing the love of Christ by connecting with our community, by inspiring our church and by, again, equipping to serve. Simple again, right? Simple to say. We want it to be something that you understand, that's something you can buy into, if you will, that you can invest in, not just financially, but your heart and your lives into. Now, perhaps you're thinking, well, wait a minute, Steve, haven't we already been doing this? Haven't we already been doing that? Well, yes, we have been doing that. For all intents and purposes, that has been and will continue to be our purpose to do that, to share the love of Christ by connecting with the community, by inspiring the church, and by equipping to serve. Yet, we recognize it's necessary for us to step up our game. We need to be even more focused in our efforts to do this. And again, in fact, my hope is that should anyone ask about Calvary Christian after today, the automatic response from you will be that we're all about sharing the love of Christ. And then if you want to share with them even further how we go about that, then I pray that you can do that. But think about this, sharing the love of Christ will be, well, for lack of a better term, our tagline. It's something that we want to be known for. As has been previously announced, on Sunday, May 19th, we're going to be devoting time in our service to lay out some of the exciting plans, more specifically, that we hope to implement in the near future. We invite all who are connected with this community of believers, whether having formally placed membership with us or not, to join us for that service and after that service, just stay after, for annual meeting and for a luncheon to follow. Though only members are privileged to vote to affirm our proposed budget and nominees for deacons and elders, we want all of you to be aware of our plans going forward. We want all of you to know who we are, what we're about. Complete transparency here, folks. If you've been connected with us, we want you to know. And maybe if you're just thinking about, well, I don't know, but I would like to know more about whether or not I want to be connected with you. So make it a point to join us, if at all possible, again on Sunday, May 19th. Now, at the risk of sounding like a broken record, in the meantime, we're urging you to ask God to open our eyes to see what He wants us to see. To open the eyes of our hearts to see what He wants us to see. We sang about we want Him to open the eyes of our hearts so we can see Him. We do want to see Him. But we also want to see the world as He sees it. We want to see people the way Jesus saw them. We want to be able to see God's plan and purpose for us clearly in our interaction with all people at all times. David, the man after God's own heart, records a very bold prayer in Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. Listen carefully. He says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." That sure sounds like a request for the great physician to run some diagnostics, doesn't it? I mean, doesn't it? Take note, David here didn't ask God to reveal what was wrong with everyone else, or even to point out what might be out of sync in the community of God's people. No, he said, "Search me. Search me." I've most often heard people say that when they're asked a question they can't answer. You know, "Search me." Or when maybe they've been asked if they have something in their possession that's not theirs. Well, they shouldn't have. They might say, "Search me." But this is something more, isn't it? This is something more. This is a call for the Lord to show us what might be lacking in our thought process or what may be in our hearts that shouldn't be. It takes courage to invite the Holy Spirit to do a deep probe, doesn't it? Now, we might say again, well, he already knows my heart. I hear people say that all the time. He knows my heart. He already knows what I'm thinking, doesn't he? He knows what's on my mind, right? He does. But this is an invitation to, Lord, search, and not just you see what's there, reveal to me what's there to do that. He may reveal some adjustments that need to be made in our own thinking and our perspective. He might reveal some renovations that should take place in our personal priorities. If we bring it home, I'm asking him to show me where I may be failing and falling short of my role in God's marvelous plan for my life. Is there something I've been missing? Would you join me in petitioning our Father to search out each of our hearts? Would you do that? Lord, be thou my vision. Give me a heart to seek you and eyes to see you. Reveal your will and your wishes for me in the marvelous vision that you have for me and for your people. Yes, Lord, open the eyes of my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you're just visiting with us today, or you're watching online and feeling like this may be all good for Calvary Christian Church, but it's got nothing to do with you, I suggest to you that it might be a whole lot more relevant than you think. If you live in our area and aren't connected with a church family, I mean by that, it's not, you may have a church that, well, your mom goes to, or a church that you attend once in a blue moon. We haven't had a blue moon for a while. But if you're not really connected with a church, we'd be pleased to have you join us in our mission to share the love of Christ. Or if you're someone who needs to experience the love of Christ on a personal level, we're here for you. As I said, we don't want to just share mere words. We want to demonstrate our willingness to share the love of Christ with you. So I would encourage you to chat with someone after services. I'd be pleased to share a cup of coffee or a cup of tea with you, or a bottle of water if you prefer. If you have a prayer request, a burden on your heart that you want me to pray for you about, or one of our elders, or all of us to collectively pray for you about, Let us know. We consider it a privilege to have a chance to get to know you better by sharing the love of Christ with you. And again, you might say, well, I'm all about sharing the love of Christ myself. Great, let's share the love of Christ together. Let's do that. Remember, let's be united. Let's be one in this. Let's do that. Again, on the 19th, we'll lay out a few more specifics, and you might still be saying, well, I want to hear some specifics. Well, I can just tell you there's going to be some renovations of the building, perhaps, some freshening up, some cleaning up, some moving some things around. But more importantly, we're going to be looking at how we might reach out into our community with some new methods or some different methods to connect with folks and share the love of Christ with them. That's our goal. That's what we're about. Sharing the love of Christ. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you. I want to thank you in Jesus' name once again for this opportunity again. And I'm just so thankful that our leadership has been, well, open, Father, to your leading. For if we're not willing to be led by you, then we're not in a position to lead others. So, Father, I just appreciate their openness, their hearts, Father, their concerns for the church body here, but also for the community. Father, for this world. I'm so thankful for their hearts of love their willingness again to share the love of Christ in whatever ways they can. And Father, I'm just so thankful for each member here at Calvary Christian and their hearts to do that. I pray, Father, that we can just be united about doing that, that we can be looking for ways we can support and encourage one another in doing that. For Father, this world needs desperately the love of Christ. They need desperately to not only know that it exists, that you sent your Son, but that you sent your Son for them, that you love them, and you want for them to know, experience for themselves, the incredible love of Christ. Father, again, I ask you to bless us in our efforts going forward. Father, thank you. Thank you for your patience, your grace, your mercy extended to us. Thank you for loving us so much and so well and so consistently. In Jesus' name, and those who agree say, amen.